Continuing our study in the first chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, we desire to make a special consideration of the sentence which occurs at the close of verse 16, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, verses 15 to 17 read very well without this sentence. In fact, from the point of view of the continuity of the reasoning, it would be better if that sentence were left out, as it appears to have very little to do with what surrounds it. Let us read those verses without that sentence. Verse 15, where the apostle says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, just why is this sentence, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, seemingly introduced, interpolated, just here? Is it just a very casual thought, remarking upon what was really quite plain, that the Jew had had the gospel preached to him before it was preached to the Gentile? If that is all there is to it, then it is indeed difficult to understand why the Holy Spirit should have inspired the apostle to pen the obvious at this particular point, thus breaking into an important, reasoned, and orderly statement concerning the gospel. The fact is that this sentence, which is so often left out and which many almost refuse to consider, was an important part of the gospel proclamation at that time, and is included here because it indicates Israel's special position of priority, a priority which must be recognized if the remainder of this epistle to the Romans is to be rightly understood. Arthur S. Way, in his excellent book on Paul's epistles, translates and paraphrases verse 16 in this way. The glad tidings is the means through which God exerts his power for the salvation of everyone who puts faith in the message, of the Jew as having the precedence, but of the Greek also. Now, this is indeed the truth. The Jew at that time had the precedence. And this is the truth which so many fail to take proper note of. At that time, and notice, we will underline those particular words, at that time, all through the history that is covered by the book of the Acts, the Jews were in a privileged position, and they were called to be the channels through whom the gospel should flow. Salvation and its message had been sent unto them. We might look at Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Paul is the speaker, preaching at Antioch, and he says, Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. The word of salvation was sent to the people of the stock of Abraham, those in particular amongst them who feared God. Now, this particular phrase, to the Jew first, gives to us the dispensational position of their priority. The message at that time had definitely been given first and had to be first to them. And, let us say again, this important fact must be taken into consideration if the Epistle to the Romans is to be truly appreciated. Now this evening, we want to search and see together whether this statement is really borne out during the history of that time. We want to go to a number of texts in the Acts of the Apostles and to see whether it was true that the gospel was to the Jew first all through that period. Would you turn with me, first of all, back to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And we'll read together at verse 25. Peter is here the speaker, and he was preaching to the company who had gathered together after the wonderful healing of the man at the beautiful gate of the temple. And he concludes his address on that occasion by saying, verse 25, ye, and he's speaking to the people of Israel, he says, ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, notice the word, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Unto the Jew first. And it was incumbent at that time that the message of the gospel should be to the Jew first, in order that when they had come to the place where God desired them to be, they might then be the channels through whom the gospel should flow to those others, in order that the promise made originally to Abraham might be fulfilled. But through Abraham's seed, that is, through the people of Israel, all the other kindreds and families of the earth might be blessed. So much so, in those early years of the gospel history, it is recorded in Acts chapter 11, at verse 19, even after the events of chapter 10, where Peter receives special vision to prepare him to go to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, even after that, in chapter 11, at verse 19, we read, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. In those early years, the apostles and the believers of that time sought to keep the message that had been committed to them absolutely to themselves as a people. And as we just mentioned, the Apostle Peter himself had to receive a very special revelation in order to prepare him to go and preach that message to a Gentile. The message indeed was to the Jew first. Then if you'll turn to chapter 13, at which we've already looked, but we want to look at another two or three verses, Acts chapter 13, toward the end of the chapter, we read at verse 44. After Paul had spoken, as we have recorded in the earlier part of the chapter, mainly to the Jews who refused, as we read in the verses 42 and 43, the many of them refused to receive his words. We read at verse 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews, these Jews who had had the first opportunity in the preaching as recorded in the earlier part of the chapter, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, and listen to these words very specially because they're very important, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee, the people of Israel, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now here, in a very plain statement, the Apostle Paul tells these Jews that God had designed that they should be his special messengers, that they should be, as they fulfilled the conditions expected of them, the light for the rest of the nations of the earth. Now, in the record of the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys, you'll see how careful he was always to go to the Jew first. And we want to look at a number of verses just along that line. If you'll turn back, first of all, in chapter 13, you'll see how that at Antioch, before he had to turn from the Jews, and as he says in verse 46, turn to the Gentiles, when he first went to Antioch, we read this, verse 14. They departed from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, of all the peoples of the earth, it was only the Jews who kept the Sabbath. And in order to underline their Sabbath keeping, they met together particularly in their synagogues on those Sabbath days, week by week. And here is the first occasion in the record of the Acts of the Apostles that the Apostle Paul seeks specially to go to the place where the Jews met together. And so he went on the Sabbath day into the synagogue to give his message to the Jew first. Now, as we've read later on in this chapter, there were a whole crowd of other people in the city of Antioch, a whole city full of people who afterwards became interested in the message that the apostle was preaching. But first, he went to the Jews and gave them the opportunity of coming into line with the plan and purpose of God. As he passed on in his missionary journey, you read in chapter 14, the first verse, chapter 14, verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. And the word Greeks at this particular occasion is Greek-speaking Jews. But there were unbelieving Jews, we read in verse 2, who stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Chapter 17, verse 1. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Messiah, the Messiah awaited, expected of the Jews. Now notice, as we go through these, that the Apostle Paul had been particularly called and commissioned to be the Apostle to the Gentiles. And yet, in every place to which he goes, upon his missionary journeys, he goes to the Jew first. You might immediately have the question arise in your mind then, why ever did he do that? Well, this is the reason which we are seeking to underline, that at that time, throughout this period covered by the Acts of the Apostles, it was God's intention, according to his promise originally made to Abraham, to bring the people of Israel, the Jews, into that position where they could be the channels for the outworking of his promise, that through them all the families of the earth should be blessed. And so, even though Paul was specially called as the apostle to the Gentiles, yet he went at that time to the Jew first. If you've read your Acts right the way through, you'll know that when we come to the end of the Acts of the Apostles, the period of this Jewish priority was brought to an end. And the apostle Paul then, as it were, washed his hands completely of the Jews, and he went only to the Gentiles. But first, to the Jew first, had to be worked out. Look again in chapter 17, at verse 16. The same thing here happens at Athens. Verse 16, where we read, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, waited for others of his friends, Silas and Timotheus, whilst he waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him
when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the synagogue and in the marketplace with them that met with him. So there again it was to the Jew first. And still carrying on as we look to others of these verses in chapter 18, we'll read the first four verses. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogue. Still in chapter 18, look at verse 19. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there, Priscilla and Aquila. But he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. Now, as you see, this is getting well on through the period of his missionary journeyings here at chapter 19. And still, he is going to the Jew first. The last occasion upon which we read where the apostle went to the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews is in chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 8. We'll perhaps read a few other verses here just to get this. In verse 1 it tells us, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, which was another sign of that particular time when all through this period of the Acts the signs and miracles and wonders were being wrought by those who believed. It says again at verse 7, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And we read here in chapter 19, when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, coming out of the synagogue, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this, so far as is recorded, was the occasion when the Apostle Paul began, we might say, to break away from this particular line of keeping first to the Jews. For here in Ephesus, after 3 months of disputing with the Jews concerning the things in particular that were necessary in order to prepare them to be the messengers of God to the Gentiles, when they refused, he left them and he went to this school of Tyrannus, and there continued his work. Now, as we consider this particular line, we can see that God sought to get away through the Jews. At that time, they had privilege and priority in a number of ways, and perhaps it might be as well to see how that in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3, in the first verse or 2, we are told that the Jews at that time had advantage, dispensational advantage.
national advantage, which put them on a different level from the rest of the nations and peoples. The apostle asks the question in verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? And he answers, much, every way. There was advantage, there was profit to the Jew at that time. Much, every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Through them, the truth of God was to flow. To them had been committed certain truths. Truths in respect of the knowledge of God. The oracles of God. And God had ordained at that time that only through the Jews should the message go. Again, if you'll look at chapter 9, we have a little more detail in this same line of truth. Chapter 9. We'll read from verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongeth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Now these particulars that are given to us in verses 4 and 5 constitute Israel's privileges as the people who were specially chosen to be his channel. And it was because of this that the message at that time had to be to the Jew first. There's another little line of consideration that we want to look at before we close this evening, and it's this. In that the gospel was deposited first with the Jews, and in that they had the dispensational privilege and priority in so many ways, it follows that theirs was a great responsibility. And the fact of this responsibility brings with it, as we all know, a sense of judgment if failure ensues. And we read in Romans chapter 2 how that for the Jew this indeed was the case. If you look at Romans chapter 2, we'll read, breaking into the argument at this point, we'll read at verse 7, where the apostle says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile, but glory, honour, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Now, this tribulation and anguish that the apostle here speaks and writes of in verse 9, it seems to me, fell upon the Jew in an initial way at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, which occurred in AD 70. God had given them the opportunity of becoming his special messengers. And because of that opportunity, which carried with it the responsibility, there was the likelihood of judgment if they failed. Now, from a reading of the New Testament, we know that they did fail. They refused to live up to the responsibilities and the privileges that God had given them. And so, upon them, because they refused to obey the truth, there came tribulation and anguish. And we say again, the beginnings of that tribulation and anguish were to be seen at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, when the people of the Jews then suffered in a tremendous way.
And as the people of Israel have continued in a state of unbelief, so it is upon them that there shall fall what the scripture details as the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation. And the great tribulation shall be to the Jew first, before the general judgment that is to follow afterwards. So that what the Apostle Paul says here is perfectly true. And we must see to it that we put this particular phrase, to the Jew first, in its right place. Now, we earlier mentioned that the purpose of God was to bring the Jew into such a place that they might be his channel through whom the blessing should flow in accord with the promise of God to Abraham that through his seed all the families of the earth should be blessed. And as you read through the Acts of the Apostles, you see the beginnings of the outworking of that particular prophetic promise. Only the beginnings. The time is yet to come when the people of the Jews, taken back to their own land, blessed under the tremendous blessing of God, born, as it were, as a nation in a day, and fitted for the service that God calls them to, shall be his messengers to all the ends of the earth. And then, in a very real way, that wonderful time when the Jew will be the messenger of God to all the people, and the covenant promises, as given to Abraham, will then find their full fulfillment. Throughout the Acts of the Apostles, the Abrahamic covenant and promise was in the background, but not being brought out. Its full outworking awaits the time yet to come, when it will be quite clearly seen, when they go forth as the missionary messengers to all the world, that the message indeed is, as it will be even then, to the Jew first, and then through them to the Greek. May God enable us that we might just get the right perspective. And when we get the right perspective, we'll be able to better to appreciate the rest of this epistle to the Romans, because it was written at the time when the Jew had the priority, when the Jew was first.